I wouldn't say we fell in love right away. I think we were, as they call it in the biz, trauma bonding.
And then after 8 years of being insufferably sober, I started drinking again.
Addicts tend to be rather sensitive people.
Aren't you Marc Maron? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened to you?
Hi there. You're listening to Light Hustler, a podcast about addiction, recovery, spirituality, sharing our dark to find our light. And this is one of those interviews from Facebook Live. So sound quality is what it is. Oh, and I am Anna David. If you're welcome to the podcast, I'm so glad you're here. What brought you here? Feel free to email me and tell me. Or email me. Put it on social media, whatever. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. If you have listened to the podcast before and you're a returnee, I'm super glad you're here too. And so my point is that this is from a Facebook Live interview. And so the sound quality is what it is. And the guest is terribly popular. So there was a lot of interaction with people, her friends, her family members, everybody chiming in. So if you don't know what's going on, that's what's going on. I give her a proper intro in the middle of the interview because I forgot to do it at the beginning. So I'm just going to tell you right now, Gail Sachs Rodriguez is a writer. She has also worked as a substance abuse counselor in an all-female prison in a men's sober living program. And she was in my writing program, All the Right Moves. We talk about that. And she also has an essay in the anthology I recently released called Darkness Before Light, 12 Writers on Addiction, Sobriety, and Recovery. And so we talk about all of that. What you should know is that there are still spots available in the very coaching program that we talk about. If you think you might be interested in sharing your story, go to alltherightmoves.net. Right is like writing, A-L-L-T-H-E-W-R-I-T-E moves.net. It is an application only program, which means that we need to speak before. You can't just sign up for it. So check out the site. And if you're interested, email assistant@annadavid.com. Also check out the anthology on Amazon. If you're interested, it hit number one in all its categories, substance abuse, 12-step, drug dependency, all the fun categories. And it's only $3.99. With that, let's get into the interview with the ever so charming and funny Gail Sachs Rodriguez.
Hi, I think we're live.
Hey.
Hi. I am live here with the one and only Gail Sachs. She's a fabulous lady. So if you like the people in your life, go share this now. Wouldn't you say, Gail?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Share
me. If they
me.
Hate the people in their life, what should they do? Also share it.
Totally share me.
Share Gail. We were just trying to decide if she looks like she's naked. I think not.
I hope not.
We have to start this in an exciting way, Gail. We have Beth, Bobby, Mama Ju here. You guys, so we're going to be talking all about Gail's career working with female inmates, working at an all-male sober living program, and her writing. So if you are at all interested in recovery, addiction, writing, this is the time to tune in, and please feel free to ask questions. We already have people here. Did you know that Beth said skinny, young, and naked? That's you. That's how I like to describe
Ooh,
you.
I think she's describing you.
I don't think so, because I think Beth knows you and not me.
This is true.
Okay. So I am putting the URL for Gail's blog up on the screen. So if you are watching this live, you can see it. It is mylifeinthemiddleages.wordpress.com. Go there if you want to hear stories about addiction and recovery, but with a really wonderful attitude and POV. And Jessica is saying you're killing it already.
Oh, God. Okay. Thanks, Jess. All right. Good.
So let's start with the blog. What made you start the blog?
I think initially when I started writing, probably around 2009, it was a way for me, almost as a way to get the story told that I thought that I had to tell, which was a lot about my mother, her history as a Holocaust survivor, as somebody who ended up taking her own life. Right. And I think I had pigeonholed all of that into the only story that I had to tell. As I went along, I also branched out into many other things, including a lot of very funny things. So I always try to let people know that, like, my life was not tragic. I didn't triumph over tragedy. That I had a lot more to say. And when I started working with, on a volunteer basis, with female inmates, I was leading a writing workshop with them that changed into something else. Every time I saw them, something they said gave me a title. And I always say that all of my blog posts start with a title.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they would say something, and that would be the basis for a blog post that I could kind of knock off in 40 minutes and look back on it and say, wow, that was pretty good. Like, that described the scene perfectly.
So, not to put you on the spot, but for anybody who wants to write blogs, can you give an example of one of the things somebody would say that went into a blog post?
Yeah, I think one of my favorites, which is probably one of the most poignant things I've ever written about, was, Gail, what have I always told you? : tough love from a heroin addict. And the Gail, what have I always told you, was said to be by a wonderful, wonderful man in the halfway house that I worked in, who always used to say, you can't get too close to us.
Mm.
Basically saying, we're going to die. Some of us are going to die. You can't get too close to us. And on a day that he relapsed, after many, many years, months of being clean, I ran out before he was taken to a detox, and he hugged me and he said, Gail, what have I always told you?
Mm.
And then he died about 3 months later.
Well, so when you say that, you know, some of it's funny and some of it's tragic, a piece like that, there's no humor in something like that. Or is there somehow light under the darkness?
Yeah. I mean, he was an extremely funny person. So I might have captured that a little bit in there. His was the first death that was like a punch in the gut. And I was new to the field. There had been a couple of deaths before his, but his like really felled me to my knees. And I'm not exaggerating. It was really, really hard, but he was such a full of life person. So maybe that's not a great example of a piece that has much levity.
No, that's okay. Well, and okay. So the title of the blog, as you can see up on the screen, My Life in the Middle Ages, doesn't really sound like it's a blog about what it's about, right?
Right. And I'm also not middle-aged anymore, unless I'm going to live to 106. So when which of course I am. I started it when there was a better chance. I mean, when I was kind of middle-aged, I started it before I was in menopause. It was like life was grand. So it's kind of a misnomer at this point. But my life took a really dramatic turn when I was about 45. I changed careers. I had been a nonprofit fundraiser for 25 years. I became this person that I didn't like. I had to be somebody other than who I was. Mm-hmm. I got remarried to the man of my dreams. This all happened when I was 45. There's some pieces in there before I met my wonderful husband about online dating that are really, really funny. So it was kind of what was happening to me at that time. But then took on a life of its own since then. Most of the pieces that have gotten the most recognition have been about my work in the recovery field, because they are the most poignant and they do provide a lot of humor as well as tragedy.
Right.
And I like, yeah.
Well, and that's a good transition into, you were recently a part of a number one best-selling anthology, which I know because I edited it and selected
it. Yes, you did.
And yes. It's called Darkness Before Light. Remember, I was just trying to remember the subtitle. 12 Writers on Addiction, Sobriety, and Recovery. So this was an anthology I put together. It's the first volume. I'm going to keep putting more volumes out there. And I reached out to some writers. And Gail, you were the one writer not in recovery that I reached out to. Did I tell you that? I don't think I told you that at the time. So you didn't know till you read the book that you were the only writer who did a piece not about being in recovery.
Right. And I don't know. And I wish that I had put more of that in the piece. I wish that it said somewhere that I'm not in recovery. And it's very clear when I write for places like The Fix or on my blog, I do make it very clear that I'm not in recovery and that I have this other viewpoint. But it's an honor to be alongside those writers. And I mean that very seriously. They are an amazing bunch. I've gotten to know some of them virtually, just like I've gotten to know so many people through you virtually who are all incredibly talented, and it's amazing.
Well, okay. I hate to stop you on that. Anybody who wants to get the book, it's $3.99, less than Starbucks. The URL is up on the screen, and you can just go to tinyurl.com/darknessbeforelight, and you will be brought to the Amazon page. So, it's very cool. We've gotten a great response. It just came out last week, shot to the top of the substance abuse category, drug dependency category, all the most fun categories on Amazon. And so what was it like? I'm just curious because you had such a good attitude from the beginning. Not that everybody doesn't, but you were like, yes, I want to do this. And then really like getting all your friends involved and then, hey, we should do a reading. Great idea. Yes. Over Facebook Live, since we're all over the world.
I know.
So what was it like to be part of your first anthology?
It's incredible. I mean, I can't believe it. I don't know if I can consider it a book since I'm still a purist and I don't read things on Kindle. Like, never will. I don't care what you say. But I get it. It's a whole new world. It's very surreal that I can actually say that I am part
of a number one best-selling Amazon book. Say that whole sentence, Gail. I want you to get comfortable with it.
I am part of a number one best-selling Amazon book.
Good. That was good. But I want you to learn to say it a little faster, the words. And by the way, I am just figuring Amazon out. I can create a way that people can get the actual paperback of the book. You want that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something I'm working on. So then you will have to count it as a real book.
Absolutely. Okay, I will. But am I allowed to tell people like what you and your coaching program did for me? Are you going to turn that down? You're going to turn that opportunity?
I am not. I do not turn down free promotion now or anytime.
I mean this in all sincerity. I don't even know where you found me or how we found each other. You know this?
I do, because I was running After Party and I sent Danielle Stewart, who was one of my writers, out to look for the best blogs about addiction and recovery. And she found your blog. I don't know how she found it. So then we awarded you that distinction. Then we were in touch, I think.
Yes.
We were emailing.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Anna runs an incredible coaching program called All the Right Moves. And I have always wanted to put all of this story that I thought had to be told in a book form, but I'm lazy. I will say that I am lazy. and I didn't know what I was doing. And I never would have done it without the guidance of Anna, who has a really foolproof system of putting together a complete book proposal from beginning to end. It takes dedication. It took her support. The other writers in the group are just, they're incredibly talented. And Anna always said to me, you have a story to tell. Like, she made me believe that I do have a story to tell. Whether the original idea is one that I feel needs to be told right now, I don't know. Because the recovery writing is really what got me, what has gotten me all fired up. But the first proposal, I've submitted it to some agents. It's there. It's complete. Now I'm diverting a little bit and I'm going to be working on a proposal for something else. Working title.
Okay. Oh, this reminds me. I never read your bio. I told you this is very casual. However many minutes, 13 minutes into this, I'm going to read Gail's bio because it includes information about this. So Gail Sachs Rodriguez has written for the Huffington Post, Salon, Thought Catalog, and The Fix, and has appeared on HuffPost Live. She's currently writing You Ain't No Soccer Mom, a memoir about her time working with female inmates, as well as being the counselor at an all-male sober living program. So that is what you're currently working on.
Yes. And because of you, it's not going to take me 6 months to put together a really compelling proposal. I know how to do this now with confidence because of really the foundation that you gave me and that you've given to a lot of other people.
To be clear, I am not paying, am I paying you a dime to say
anything? I swear to God, no, she's not. She's okay. Really not. But I feel like the stories that I got from the women in prison and then the men in the halfway house, and now in the rehab facility where I work, there's something so sustaining for me and I think for anybody who would read what I have to write that I'm really, really excited about this one.
Yeah.
Really excited because it's not about just me. It's about me learning from these people. I mean, I went into their lives thinking that they were going to learn something from me. And I've learned more from them than I ever thought was humanly possible. And my work has changed my life completely.
How has it changed your life?
Well, they let me in. Some of these disenfranchised people, they have let me in and they see that I'm not in their lives to judge them, to talk down to them. And so they're open and honest with me about their vulnerabilities, which are very real, with how they feel like they've destroyed their lives, with their shame. And then at whatever end of a cycle, whether it's somebody who's completed 30 days in rehab or 6 months in the halfway house, it's sharing their victories with me. And it's incredible.
Well, I would a couple comments I'd like to point out. Your husband has chimed in that he knows you're not paying me because he would know.
Oh, God. Thanks, Rick.
I love. Vicky is saying you're awesome. Sarah is saying, wow, Gail, you're dipping into some really awesome people from all walks of life. Donna is proud of you. Oh. Yeah. People really like this Gail, I'm noticing.
That's my sister. Donna has to say she likes me and she's proud of me.
You know what? My brother, did you see him commenting that he likes me and he's proud of me? Nope.
My brother, where's my brother? He's on here somewhere too.
But what was interesting to me about when you were talking about the writing is this idea that you worked on one proposal in the coaching program and then decided, I'm going to put this aside for now and work on something else. And I think it's so important because writers who think, oh, I'm just going to write this book. I'm going to spend 5 years writing this book and then I'm going to go make $1 million. And then, it's just going to be so great. No. Writing is continuing to write. We get better and it only increases our chances. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think the subject, you know, you and I talked a little bit about, you know, I'm sort of obsessed with the Patrick Melrose novels.
I forgot about that obsession. Did you finish watching it?
I did, and it was amazing. But in reading an interview with St. Aubyn,
yeah,
who's a bit of a pretentious asshole, but he's brilliant, so who cares?
Yeah.
He decided to sort of shroud the Patrick Melrose novels, even though they're completely autobiographical. He didn't want to write what he called a misery memoir.
Right.
Okay. And that really, like that term, and I'm actually in the middle of writing a blog post about this, really stuck with me, because I feel like what I was writing about my mother, about suicide, about Holocaust survival, kind of felt a little bit like, was this going to be another misery memoir?
Right.
And who was going to be interested in reading it? And I didn't want a Holocaust memoir. I didn't want it to just be about suicide. So I sort of struggled with this. The whole recovery universe, I mean, I don't want to say it's a hot topic because that's ridiculous, but it is, and I don't want to waste my funny.
Right, right.
So,
keep going. I got something to say about that.
Okay, because I really am funny as well as digging really deep. Like, I can do both equally as well. So I think I want to be not known as a writer of a misery memoir. I want to be somebody who writes something funny and poignant and real in the field of recovery. And yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you said that. I mean, because my thing with St. Aubyn, the reason I'm obsessed with Patrick Melrose is that he's funny. I don't even care that he's brilliant. He's just funny. Because you kind of have to be brilliant to be that funny. But, you know, and my entire premise is share your dark to find your light, because light is lightheartedness. You know, we didn't go through all of this in order to be miserable about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way we shine the light for others is, you know, when I was at After Party and even when I was at The Fix, I would always say to writers, you know, we're giving people, you know, trick them into saving their lives. Make them think they're reading a humor piece, but really you're giving them the profound details that can save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you would be wasting your funny. Because if you've got that, I think it's an obligation to share it with the world.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I'm not sharing my darkness. I'm sharing sort of their darkness. Although you've always thought that somehow my darkness was intertwined with the darkness of what I do. But
you don't buy that. Do you?
Not really.
No, my thing was just that what you experienced in terms of your childhood and your mother, I think subconsciously at least drew you to work with people who are struggling.
Okay. Yes. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't seem particularly dark, even though we've never met in person. I know it.
You know I'm not dark.
Well, dark. So people are, lots of applause. Heather loves you. So by the way, about this program, I am, I just put the URL back up, alltherightmoves.net. If you want information, Gail was in the first group. We're now I'm putting together the fifth group. People from every group have sold a book. So if you think you want to write a book, go to that website, check it out, alltherightmoves.net. And then you have to email me because you have to talk to me on the phone before it's an application, but don't be stressed out by that. Just email assistant@annadavid.com. And we still have a couple spots left. So if you want to experience what I am not paying Gail to talk about, assuming you're a good fit for the program. So it starts in September. I'm putting my email up there. So, tell me, what really anything else that you want to talk about in terms of writing about recovery, the topic right now, how it's freed you up. Did you have hesitations about going public with these stories?
No, I'm not shy. I feel comfortable the way I tell my story. I kind of grew up fast, so I was talking about my story. People talked to me about what was going on in my mother's life at a very young age. And they spoke to me like an adult. So I was never nervous about doing that. I think like everybody, I was worried. I'm still worried about when I submit something, I get really sad if somebody says, oh, sorry, you know, we're not interested.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
But most of the time when I'm getting rejected, I just don't hear anything. Do you get rejections?
I've gotten a couple of, sorry, this isn't the right fit.
Yeah.
But then I get, oh my God, like the HuffPost when they were like, yeah, we want to hear more and let's do this thing. But I have confidence in my writing now. I'm much more confident than I've been ever. And I know what shitty writing is when I go back onto my blog and read something from a long time ago and something's really bad, I'll just delete it. And on the flip side, I can look at something from 6 years ago and say, wow, that was really good. And I'm going to repost this because it's worth people seeing now. So
when did you start submitting to publications?
Well, somebody found me. This amazing man is the first sort of mentor I had, and I've never met him in person. His name is David Chura. And he used to teach juveniles in prison. And somewhere along the line, he found a piece I wrote about my time in prison. And he started to include me in a series that he had called Kids in the System. And I trust him and trusted him and still trust him so much. And then I think after that, again, I got my confidence up. I was also submitting to places that didn't pay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you know, people want free content. But once I started getting good feedback and hearing from strangers, that was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I must not suck at this. So I'm gonna keep on going.
The two things about that. Earlier, when you said I am equally good at writing humor and writing poignant. And I was like, it's really good to hear her talk with such confidence. It was notable to me how you said that. So I know that you're more confident now than you've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of submitting, I'll tell you back in the day, back when we could make a good living as magazine writers, back when there were magazines, my dream when I first started was that I wanted to write for Details magazine, now long gone. Every time I published a clip, every time I got published in another magazine, I would mail, because this was the dark ages, article to Details, and I would never hear. And I did it maybe 7 or 8 times. And then years later, I get an email from the executive editor who'd never seen anything I ever sent him and said, hey, I just read something you wrote. You want to write for me? So it's like that.
I know, you never know.
You never know. And it's sort of like, I know that the way the universe seems to work is we try and we try and we try and we have this idea and this plan. And then something else comes from out of left field. Because I believe we put in the effort and we get the reward. It's just often not the reward that we thought it was going to be.
At that time or whatever. Yeah.
At that time. Kind of like you with working on the first memoir, and that was, you knew that's what you were going to do. And then actually what it led you to was this idea you're more excited about.
Much more excited about.
So Mark is saying, as in Monopoly, just visiting. And
I don't know,
know what that means.
Oh, as I wasn't in prison. Thanks for clearing that up, Mark.
Oh, your friends are as funny as you are.
That's my brother. Yes.
The brother should clarify. Gail has not been to prison yet. There is plenty of time. As
this is true.
If she lives to 106, she is in her middle. So there's plenty of time for that. So we have to get close to wrapping up, but mm-hmm. is there any anything else that you want to add, that you want to say, that you want to tell aspiring writers, anything about the anthology?
I mean, for anybody who is writing and frustrated, submit. Don't give up. Join Anna's group. Anna, is it an all recovery group again this time?
No, I will say that it does. The audience tends to be in recovery. I'm always very excited. I'm excited for anybody who joins it who's good, but I'm always pretty excited when it's someone who's not. Like, we, in one group, we had somebody who was writing a dating advice book. So far, the people signed up for September. I think there's one who's not. So yes, sign up for my program. We only run it twice a year, and it's happening now. So if this sounds interesting to you, go to alltherightmoves.net. But anyway, Gail, go on with your advice.
I mean, if anybody out there wants me to advise them on a pitch letter or anything, they can email me. Do you want to put my email on the screen?
Nice. Yes.
It's true.
What is it?
GailSachs@gmail.com.
So I hope you're not overwhelmed with people taking advantage of your generosity.
Well, no, it's fine, because it's my pleasure to help anybody.
So yeah. You say, so has writing become like your new passion or old passion on fire?
Absolutely old passion on fire.
And so what would you say to people who think, well, you know, I already have this career, it's too late. I mean, you mentioned at 45, your whole life changed. You know, people who say, oh, I've already tried writing and I've been rejected, or I put my writing out there and nobody reads it, or I'm just, you know, it's too late for me. What do you have to say to them?
I don't know. Find that article where, you know, people like, I don't know who the hell they were, Louisa May Alcott or whoever, weren't discovered until they were in their 40s and 50s and 60s. I don't know. Find that article and don't give up. Listen, I'm a nobody in this writing universe. I mean, I'm more than I was 8 months ago before I met you. But we can all do this. I like the accountability of writing contacts as well. I would say that. I like having people that I can share with and say, can you look this over? Tell me what you think. And people who are going to be brutally honest with you.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we do have in this program is we have a private Facebook group. And now when you did it, I was the book architect helping each person through, and I almost had several breakdowns trying to handle it. So now I've hired Kristen McGinnis, she's a best-selling author of 6 books. And so she works with each student. It's very worked out. It's like, they get conversations in the beginning, 4 opportunities for feedback, editing, all of that stuff. So wow. Yes, I think, and you have people in your life too, non-virtual friends that you show your writing to.
I do, just a few, but yes, I do.
People like Sherry and Mark and all these people who are obsessed with you, Heather and Jessica and Juliet.
Oh, look, there's Maureen. You're going to hear a lot about Maureen if you haven't already.
What do you mean? When am I going to hear about Maureen?
Her book's coming out in 2 weeks. Yes, Maureen Cavanaugh. Yes.
She has, is involved with that Macklemore concert, right?
Yes, she is. She's the executive director of the Above the Noise Foundation.
Yeah, we are just promoting everything we can.
Anybody else? I can't see who's up there. Anyone else have anything else to promote? You and Maureen will absolutely get to know each other for sure.
Okay, awesome. Well, so we have to wrap up. This has been so much fun.
Oh, and I knew it would be.
Me too. So if you want to find out more about Gail, go to mylifeinthemiddleages.wordpress.com. Check out her equally funny and poignant writing. Look out for her memoir, I Ain't No Soccer Mom.
You Ain't No Soccer Mom.
Which I'm telling you is going to sell. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
Email her if you want to write and you've got a pitch. And if you want to sign up for my writing program, email me at assistant@annadavid.com. Thank you so much for chiming in. Gail, thank you. That was awesome.
It was fun. Okay.
We got to tell them to go buy our anthology.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Go buy the book. Go Amazon. Darkness Before Light.
Yeah, so hold on. I know that we've given you a million URLs, but this is where you can get the anthology where Gail has the final piece in it. You can go to tinyurl.com/darknessbeforelight, the first Light Hustler Volume 1. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye.
Bye.